Okay, I'm Christy, I'm an addict.
Hey, Christy.
I'd like to thank the committee for allowing me to speak at this convention. I'm glad there's not that many people. It just makes it easier. And I know all of you, I will know you later. You'll know me later, because I'd be telling you some stuff right now. I'm Christy, I'm an addict. Actually, this topic, I mean, it's all about, and it, I mean, it's the choices we make. It's not just the word suggestion, it's choices for me. Because I can either, you know, take your suggestion, and you've been here for 20 years, or 10 years, or 5 years, or just do what I want to do and do the, you know, accept the consequences. But before I got here, you know, there were suggestions made all my life, but it was choices. And sometimes it was control issues, and you know, your parents are like, you know, you got to do this. It's not like kids are today where, you know, where would you like to go, honey, to live? Where would you? No, it's we're moving and we're moving. That's what happens, like, in my generation. Like, you weren't asked how you felt about it and all this. It just wasn't, that just wasn't the way it was. But when I was growing up, I never had any privacy or, you know, do you want to do this or this? Or, you know, there was never any suggestion. You just did what the family did. And you went to church, you know, and school, Christian school, 8 times a week for 6 years. Which is fine when you're younger. I guess it's okay. It gives you a sense of, you know, routine and discipline. But the Christian school, at, you know, where I went to, and then my family life didn't, like I'm supposed to be all churchy here, and when I'm here, it's like all hell broke loose, you know? It's like, you know, yelling all the time yelling. And second of all, the privacy thing, never had any privacy. Mom was always home. So I was the kind of person or kid that didn't listen to anything. I wanted to get out. I wanted to be mouthy. I wanted to, you know, sneak out. You know, I wasn't these kids that took drugs because I was too afraid to take drugs when I was young. I didn't start, you know, smoking crack till I was 30. I was an old, you know, I smoked weed every day. I know that's not good either. But, you know, I didn't get into, I believe that pot is a gateway drug. I think that's true. So when my parents were noticing that I was going out all the time late and stuff, they would, you know, they're like, Christy, you know, you need to slow down and all this. And I'm like, slowing down, like, party, like, but it wasn't bad partying then. Like, they thought I was doing drugs then, and I wasn't. So I just thought, well, since they think I'm doing it, then I'll just start doing it. So, you know, I was a good girl, kind of. It's not until, you know, I got married when things got bad, and the first 7 years of my marriage was really good. Everything was great, and after a while, I start getting bored, and I wanted kids. And I suggested, you know, let's have some kids, you know, because we talked about it before, and, you know, he said he wanted children. And I've come to find out that he didn't want children. So I had the baby blues for a couple years, and so after that, I'm like, I'll show him. I'll go do some crack with some bad folks. And he can just keep doing what he's doing. I'll show him that, you know, you ain't going to give me kids, so I'm going to, you know, make you pay for it. Well, I paid for it dearly. My whole family was in denial. My husband was in denial. I was in denial of this. Like, it didn't hit hard at first, but it only took a couple months, and I was just, like, out of there. You know, I kept getting arrested, and, you know, the police suggested, you know, better stop doing that, or, you know, you're going to keep coming back here. And I didn't listen. I didn't want to listen. The drug had a hold of me. I had no control over it at that time. I was stealing from work. I was, you know, getting car parts for my drug dealers. I worked at AutoZone. It was like the perfect place, you know. Just doing drugs in the AutoZone truck, and, like, it was bad. Like, it was really bad. And, you know, I lost 70 pounds. You don't just lose 70 pounds doing nothing, okay? And I fell asleep, and I was eating at Mom and Dad's house, and I fell asleep in my food. And I just said I was tired. And they were like, Christy's just such a hard worker. And, you know, all this. And because I was working a lot because I had a lot of energy. I mean, I was smoking crack. I mean, it's an upper. So I was working all the time. And I just was, you know, I don't think I, even though I worked, I didn't think I was a functioning addict because I had a major problem. Just stealing from my husband and taking Christmas presents back and taking the water bill and not paying it and shit got turned off and, you know, and these people, you know, they say that probation officers, of course, when you're doing bad, you think they suck and they're mean and, you know, all this stuff, but they're really trying to help you. You know, and I used to say, you know, parole wants to keep you out and probation wants to keep you in. But it's not that. If you do right and take their suggestions, like, you know, get some help. You know, I was arrested twice at probation, two separate times. That's some messed up stuff because I didn't listen. And I'm not teachable. Like, I wasn't teachable. I was so stubborn. And the choices I made, you know, were just... I had no care for life, and I didn't care about my family, and, you know, especially myself. Like, I didn't care what happened to me. I went in these neighborhoods. I'm from suburbia. Like, I, you know, going to Peachtree Industrial, like, that's not good, you know, and, I was a horrible addict. I always got in trouble, but I think that's God helping me, trying to see, hey, maybe this time you'll get it. Or maybe this time you'll get it. Maybe this time after 10, 12 times getting arrested. And finally, it stuck. After months and months in different jails and just, you know, I've been to so many jails. But it's good because it just wore me down. It kept wearing me down and wearing me down and wearing me down. So the last time before I went to RSAT at Alto, I was one of the first ones. Like, we had the 10-month program. It's a 6-month program now. Like, oh, they got it so easy now. But it wasn't, because they have to wait way more time in jail to get there than I had to. But I knew that day when I went to Gwinnett jail, I knew I was done. I was done. My boyfriend didn't answer the phone to help me. To put any money on my books or anything, you know. But that was boo-hoo. Like, who cares about that? I was really focusing. I wasn't scared anymore because I knew whenever I got out, which I didn't know how long. I didn't know what was going on. I knew I was done. So I got out. First thing I did is went to a meeting the day I got out. I might have got a sponsor like a week later. Like, I was... in it. I was in it. Now, there were some suggestions like don't get in a relationship within the first year. Okay, I just had sex. There wasn't relationships. I haven't had sex for 2 years, y'all. I had to have sex. I didn't care. Well, I cared. No, I didn't care. The first cute guy in NA, man, and it was just, you know, I had to just once or twice and just get away. Like, I didn't want a relationship. So technically, I wasn't in a relationship the first year. I just had sex the first year. Okay, so I skirted, you know, you can justify your suggestions and if you take them or not. Okay, and of course the 90 meetings, 90 days. I couldn't do that because I didn't have a car. My dad wasn't going to take me 7 days. My probation came to the house, you know. I was really under strict, you know. Like, they were watching me, you know. Mom took, you know, her purse was always on her. She kept it in a separate room. And I didn't get mad. I just wanted to get clean. I wanted to prove to myself that I'm not a bad person. I just made some bad decisions. And before that, when I went to RSAT, every day for 3 to 4 hours, we learned how to deal with life on the outside. It was no joke. It was very intense. and I had counseling, and we did AA meetings 4 times a week. There was only AA. There was no NA. And that was okay. I mean, there are predecessors. It's okay. I used to be a Nazi about that. I used to be like, no, NA, 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 NA. But, I mean, if it's going to save your life, and you're working at weird hours, and you can't get to an NA meeting, go to an AA meeting. I don't know if I should be saying this, but a suggestion to me, when my sponsees can't get to NA meetings, go to an AA meeting. It'll save your ass. It doesn't matter. There's a suggestion. If you don't want to go there, then, you know, you might relapse. It's that important. I think NA has saved my life. It's a life or death situation. So on to suggestions. I mean, I'm really harsh with my sponsees. I mean, my other old sponsee called me just to listen, you know, and she didn't take my suggestions, and for years she's been in turmoil with this relationship, and now they're supposedly over again, and I'm like, I can only listen, I'm not your sponsor anymore, and I love you, and I'll pray for you, you know, but my suggestion is get out, like, yeah, get out. You know, 90 meetings, 90 days, get a sponsor. And when I first got there, I didn't really know what that was. I've heard sponsor, like, if you're at a swim meet and somebody sponsors you for 10 cents a lap or something. I had no idea what a sponsor was. I didn't know. That's kind of foreign to me. It was foreign when I first got here. And so I asked some people. See, I'm not afraid. I jump in. I ask, you know, I'm not shy. So I didn't have a problem riding on people's coattails that had some time. There was a couple people that were newcomers with me, but they didn't stay around. But I just kept riding on these people's coattails that had this experience, and they were laughing and smiling, and you know, I wanted what they had, so I went with them. Because they always say, stick with the winners. So I always, you know, looked up to them. And so I just latched on very quickly. Kind of like, you know, a leech. But not a leech. But, I mean, I just soaked it up because I didn't want to die. I mean, I really didn't want to die. I've come close to, like, falling asleep in my car and just who knows how I made it. Or, you know, I couldn't drive my car because I hit a curb, like, just, and woke up to drive, and I couldn't drive because the whole frame was bent. Just, I mean, I was just really scared. So, I took suggestions, get a sponsor, just for today. I mean, those little things, that's a suggestion, too, because I can future trip really quick. I can go from here to next year to 5 years if I let my mind do it. And it's scary because that's when I'm like, and right now I'm at home right now, not working, but you know, I'm doing my 11 step every day and I'm making sure I'm doing, and I think I've gotten better the last couple weeks that I've been doing this, just doing my just for today every morning in a devotional. And like this guy from NA sends a bunch of people stuff every day and I read that. And I just don't turn on the TV, and I drink some coffee, and it's hard for me to meditate because I just can't sit still. I can sit and watch TV, but I can't sit still without a TV. So that makes no sense whatsoever. Like, I could just sit for hours and just watch TV, but I can't sit for 10 minutes without TV. So I'm learning. This is a process. And it doesn't matter how much time you have. I learn more from a newcomer than I do from somebody that's got 30 years clean. It just depends what I let into my brain to remember and to listen. But those suggestions, man, when I say I'd do anything when I first got here, I just didn't want to use anymore. But some stuff was kind of crazy about the relationship stuff and, you know, like when I got married to my second husband after I met him for 2 months, I didn't tell a soul no why, because I knew what they would suggest. Hell no. What am I doing? I have 2 years clean marrying this dude. I have no idea who he is. None. And before 6 months was out, I divorced his ass. Like, Yeah, like, who is this person? And I don't know why I did it. I know the lazy reason why I did it, because I wanted my mom to be proud of me and not live with a guy again. You know, she wanted that marriage for me. You know, she was like, you stay here and I'll pay for your school if you leave him. And, you know, all this. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, because I don't listen, especially to my mom. I never listen to my mom. So I divorced him. I didn't go to school. I hate school. I don't like college. I don't like sitting somewhere. I like to learn with, I'm more hands-on learning, a learner. But suggestions, I mean, it's all through everything we do, to willingness, to surrender. I have to make a choice to surrender. And to get through this program clean, I have to ask people their experience. And they're going to give me suggestions. I talk to my sponsor, I think on a regular basis, once a week, you know, pretty good. And I talk to other people. And, like, I love it when my sponsor's calling. She goes, I don't know what to do. Will you listen and then tell, you know, I said I can suggest something for you, but I can't tell you what to do. You're a grown-ass woman. I can't tell you what to do. So, even though I want to. No. But I can't. We've got to make our own decisions. I mean, we haven't come this far to have people tell us what to do. I've had enough jail to tell me when to sleep, eat, and shit. I don't want anybody else to tell me when I can do that on the outside when I'm free. You know, you're not going to tell me. And especially when you know, and I love how many sponsees I have. They're so different. Like, they're all different. It's great because, I mean, I just love the diversity of this program. I mean, everybody's so different, but we come together. But the suggestions, like, for example, I was having a hard time with mom's dementia. And so I talked to somebody whose dad had dementia. And it was suggested to me to call her. And we went to a couple meetings together, a couple support groups together. And that helped. I mean, my dad came, and she's in the program. And we got to know each other, like, on a more personal, more intimate level. And she knows my dad, and it's so cool. And, you know, that's just an experience we'll have together that nobody else has together. And just from a little suggestion that you should call her, she knows about this. That's why I don't like to isolate, because I need a big group of people. That's why I go to different meetings. Also, I don't go to the same meetings because I will die of boredom if I go to the same meetings. So there's two I go to on the regular, and I love it because it's all different. One is so much different from the other one. And I just, I like it like that. But yeah, just the different experiences. And then somebody came to me when their mom had dementia because somebody called them and told them about me and I suggested what to do. And, you know, it's just, it makes you feel good when, you know, you have all these outlets to ask people what they think or what they did or their experience, their strength, their hope, how they got through it, you know. And I've been through some bad stuff. My mom dying and a divorce, which was great. I mean, I don't even count that one. That doesn't count. I think anything under 6 months, you don't count it. It's not counted. Okay. So I've only been married once. No, but yes. The reason why when I don't ask is because I don't want to know the answer because I already know the answer. And I just want to be, I don't do that anymore. I have enough time to where I'm not afraid to tell my sponsor. I'm not afraid to tell her, you know, because I want everything to be good, you know, but if that's not the way it is, that's not the way it is. So when I feel something besides just the norm, I want to call my sponsor and tell her. Like, it was my mom's anniversary of her death, the 16th of April. And then my dog passed. We had to put her down. I had a sty in my eye. I hurt my back. My other dog had a seizure. And know what? I didn't use over it because it seems so silly now. Like, what, you know, like you want to be strong during those times. Even though I cried my eyes out and I was sick, I had a virus. Then the week before I was sick with something different, it was like, oh my God. But know what? I'm sitting here. I'm not sick this week. I'm not sick this weekend. Yay! And suggestion is when somebody asks you to speak, or when somebody asks you to sponsor them, I mean, you shouldn't say no. I mean, now, sponsorship, it might be different for you. But I was taught, you know, write a pros and cons list and do a 30-day thing with them and see if they, you know, are willing and hold them accountable. You know, that's what I do with sponsees first is 30 days. But, yeah, I think sponsorship, it should be a requirement. Because we have to do, I mean, for me to get better, I have to do the steps. And the steps change your life. And the steps help you let go of some of the stuff. Because I'm not going to say it does all of it. It doesn't. Some of us need outside help. That's a suggestion too. To, you know, get some outside help, or somebody might need some anxiety medicine or something like that. And, you know, I think that helps. In certain circumstances. So what I do is try to take suggestions. I'm not as bullheaded as I used to be. Okay, that's different. That's like, that's relationship. That's not... This is, I think, the most peaceful I've been with myself in ever. Because I've never done a devotional 2 weeks in a row just by myself and doing it automatically. I'm doing it automatically now. Like, I got to get my reading glasses out. Yeah, this year it started, the reading glasses. But, you know, I love this program. It is a program of suggestions. I try to be as honest as I can doing step work because it's going to be easier. That's a suggestion too, because some people hold back or some people don't know how, and we got to pick up that phone and we got to ask for help. You know, if there's any questions, if, you know, how'd you do that? And I did it this way. You don't have to do it this way. And, you know, it's been a long road, but it's been a good one. And I think I'm done. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Christy.
Sure.
And our next speaker tonight would be Clint.
My name's Clint. I'm an addict.
Hey, Clint.
Like I said, the program and suggestion, get a little bit of history about me. First started using when I was 8 years old. I had somebody come up to me and say, here, try this. So that's another type of suggestion. And so, yeah. Worked out. Yeah, 32 years later, I finally got clean. But during that time, you know, there was, you know, my parents were wonderful, great parents. They married 50-something years plus. I was youngest of four. During that time, my middle brother, we always stayed in the room together. We didn't have that much privacy. But, you know, when he finally got out of the house, I had the whole house to myself, the whole downstairs to myself. I could come and go when I pleased, do whatever I wanted to. You know, it just had to be in a certain time. You know, that's when, you know, started finding the wrong crowd growing up in the mid-80s, early 90s. Got married when I was in school, had a son when I was in school, high school, graduated. I remember when I walked across my graduation, the football field, I had to carry my son in one hand, graduated gifts in the other. You know, that was part of the things that I'd done. So I started working. You know, the drug use backed off and another substance kicked in because I was taking routine drug tests. Well, 17 years later, I finally quit that job. And so everything after that blew loose. Went through my first divorce after 11 years and was free. You know, I had to have my kids, you know, every other weekend, half the other week, whatever. Life absolutely blew loose during that time. I got out. Started finding some more different types of drugs at the time. Wash was my drug of choice. I did that off and on till way into my second marriage. You know, then it was constantly every day. Somebody said, here, you know, try this to keep you up, because I work during the day and then work at night at a bar. Yeah, hey, what's the good part about it? And, you know, somebody suggests, try this. Just keep, you know, keep you up because, you know, because I'm working the nights and everything. So took that suggestion. But later on, during my second marriage, she also was an addict. You know, we both used together. She's my best using buddy at the time. But that didn't, you know, the suggestion is there, people coming over, trying this, doing that. Then the third part of my story was I started mixing stuff together to find a new high, because somebody suggested that one. I actually flatlined and died in the back of a bus going to Athens Regional. Remember one part of waking up, there was a guy over me with a needle in his hand about poking me in the chest. Got to the hospital, doctors asked me questions, you know, were you know, using this, using that? I said, no, it's stress and anxiety, da 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 da. Finally got to the heart doctor, the doctor said, you know, you might want to suggest you might want to stop using. I said, well, another year later, I'm still using. That didn't stop me. Until I had enough. I was one of these functional addicts. I would work 24/7, up all night, work all day, constantly working. I worked with my brother-in-law and my sister's company. It's constantly sweeping a warehouse every day. The warehouse was spotless, place was spotless, but I was in a fit of rage the majority of the time. And had an intervention, family stepped in, ended up going to a 42-day program at Penfield, which is a Christian rehab facility outside Union Point. That time I was done. You know, I was done of the lifestyle. I was done of the using. I was completely, sick and tired of being sick and tired. And then that 42-day program, I finally figured out who and what I was. I was an addict. And I started taking suggestions from my counselor and other guys in the room. Started going to NA meetings. You know, my very first meeting was at rehab. The NA meeting on a Friday night. You know, I walk into a room with the guys in a circle. They're hugging me, telling me you never have to use again. You know, you're okay. You're in a safe place right here tonight. You're in a safe place. You know, I knew what my past was all about. So that night when I was inducted into the Penfield, I was 150 pounds, beer down to my chest, bald headed. You know, absolutely rough. So the next morning, I got up, shaved my beard off, got in, you know, woke up the next morning. When I woke in, I was done. I wanted something different in my life. I wanted something. I'm tired of living that lifestyle, that drug lifestyle. I was tired of it. So I had to change something. I don't know what it was that night, who it was, higher power. So I changed. I started the proceeding of changing of into who I am today. Went to the, you know, we had exercise first thing in the morning time. And then when I walked back into the room that morning, nobody knew me. I had to show them. We had an ID tag around our necks to picture who we were. So when I started showing everybody, that wasn't you. Well, it showed the beard and everything, so no, this is me. So going through the program, listening to the counselors, and then towards the end of my 42 days, they made a suggestion that you need further work or further, you know, you need further your recovery. I couldn't go home because my wife at the time was using. You know, I didn't know if I had a job or not. So they made a suggestion to go to a halfway house. Well, the halfway house was in Statesboro. You know, you got the, you know, Georgia Southern down there, which is the known party capital of the world. Once I got down there, kind of find out, it's also known for recovery houses. There's a recovery house on every corner in Georgia Southern. We went to meetings and kind of find out every place had a, you know, recovery house. And then when I started to get there, they said, you know, they suggested the people around the house, you know, get a routine. Get a sponsor. Make sure you have meetings every night. At least one a day. ended up taking 3 meetings a day for 6 months. When I started getting involved with my, you know, my sponsor at the time said, do 90-90. Well, you know, I was taking 3 a day for 6 months because I wanted something different in my life. That suggestion worked. As the more meetings I got, the more I got involved in who and what I was, I started fixing me. And that was one of the, you know, that was one of the best things. I started seeing me improve. Just me, you know, whatever happened after that was the products of my recovery. I picked up more, you know, trust from other people. So then after I got to the point of running, you know, the halfway house and managing the house, I couldn't go any further. So they made a suggestion, well, you can go back home. You're done here, so you can go back home to Monroe. That's where I'm at now. Got to Monroe. Got a meeting. Got a schedule. Got my job back. You know, of course, I had to do what they suggested, do the work. I had to go to meetings, had a routine drug test, which was fine, which now, you know, I don't care now because the drug test was nothing. I just, you know, do what I had to do, and I just throw it at the table and started laughing at them. But then I showed up. But then they said, you know, get a sponsor here at your local home group. And I kind of balked at it, you know, for a little bit. But I already had one. He was in Statesboro. I was in Monroe. That was a 3-hour window. I mean, it was a 3-hour drive. Then I started getting less and less phone calls to him because of the time, you know, because it's time to meet up. So I took a suggestion and got one here. So I've got one now. I've had for almost 8 years the same sponsor. But when the suggestions were made to me to, you know, get a sponsor, get a home group, you know, get involved, those were suggestions that helped me in my recovery. Those were people who had time in, you know, in my area. So I listened to them. Some of them I balked, and, you know, some of them I took for a grain of salt and ran with. And it's actually, you know, some of the things that we talk about today is suggestions. You know, I went through a death of my mother through cancer. You know, as I'm going to meetings on a routine basis, I was getting to further my relationship with the other guys in my group, in my sponsorship group. They started missing me after a couple of days. They, you know, I talked a little bit about my mother with cancer treatments and everything. So, you know, I'm at the hospital. This is how the program works. People showed up from my area because I've been in the hospital for a couple of days. They picked me up, take me to a meeting because that's what they were taught before that, is to help the next one in line, to help whoever's suffering. Yeah, I was missing meetings. They come and took me to a meeting, brought me back, and I was okay. They helped, people in the program helped me get through with that because I was okay with that. I was okay living with my mother's death or going through that, being there, being clean, going through that. You know, watching, being there with the last breath, able to open the door to let other people in the rooms to see her. That's what the program given to me. An extra life to live now. The life that I choose today is to be clean. I'm peace with myself. I'm okay with me today. I'm not perfect. I don't want to be perfect. I'd rather be, you know, I had a guy in rehab tell me I was a diamond in the rough. Well, this guy's in prison now. A rough diamond, you chip out a little bit and you start polishing a little bit and it starts being a diamond. That's what I've done for myself, is help chip away with people's help. People in my network have helped me to be who I am today. I've had an episode where I ended up in the hospital because my blood pressure was skyrocketing. And I was sitting there, I spent 24 hours in the hospital. And I wouldn't take anything. Just like the speaker said, I still today cannot take pills or anything like that, I can't. And the massive headache they had me on for blood thinners, my grand sponsor was there sitting. He was sitting beside me knitting a hat, and I'm sitting there going with a throbbing headache. And he said, "You gonna take anything?" He goes, "No, I can't take pills." He said, "You go through enough pain, you do something about it." And I'm sitting there, you know, going through my head, just pounding. finally I said, yeah. So I took some Tylenol. That's the strongest thing I've taken. That's the only thing I take now. And he goes, yeah, you'll be okay. But him just sit over just plain a day, in my hat. And I'm just like, what an asshole. But that's okay. We all know who he is. So, but he made a suggestion is, you know, that was one of the things I listened to. If somebody told me to, you know, to go out and do this and do that, I would balk from them. But now people make suggestions and I actually listen to them. If I can't, I had an issue with my son, which is still out there. You know, he still does this thing. So I had to ask different people. I asked my sponsor about it. He pointed me in different directions to other people. And this one person, I sat down, we talked about it, and I was fierce because he was still out there. And this, my grand sponsor was talking to him. I was talking to him about it. He goes, well, how do you think your mom and dad felt about that when you was out there? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow. They showed me a different way of looking at it. Which was pretty funny because I still love him for who he is today. He's my son. I can't default him and push him away because of what he does. What if my parents did that? My parents still love me, so I still loved him. He showed me a different way, a suggestion of handling it a whole lot better. That was the one thing about this program. It's all suggestions. And how I take them, how I decipher them, if I need further information, then I go down the list and find people or somebody can point me in the right direction on how to do something. You know, this is the program of suggestions, and I love it because we're not being told what to do. It's a suggestion. You might want to try this. Mm-hmm. You might want to try that. If this don't work out, you can try it this way. And that's part of the program I love about it. And I find peace with some of these suggestions. Some of them I don't like because I hit home. But that's okay too. I have to learn to do the good and the bad. Mm-hmm. Not always good, you know, the good part of the program. We have to deal with certain things in our lives with the program. You know, I've learned through the program that, you know, had practice principles in all my affairs, and sometimes I really gotta learn to shut my mouth on a daily basis. And that's, you know, when you're dealing with public and dealing with people and co-workers. You know, you learn to work this program outside this. And that's helped me a whole lot because if not, I'd be blowing up and not be in jail right now. But that's okay. But that's part of the program. Because I've learned, you know, to take the suggestions, talk to people, able to work things out instead of trying to figure out my own. But thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.